Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It was bizarre.
So I got it right here. Melissa Stark, sideline reporter, NBC Sports Bay, NBC Sports Bay Area, NBC Sports in general. They did a hell of a job last night. Mike Tirico, Chris Collinsworth, and here's Melissa Stark sideline on the report on Brock Purdy's turf toe.
Back at Levi's Stadium, you see Brock Purdy there. Turf toe may not sound like much, but it can be debilitating. There are varying degrees for Brock. He hyperextended his right big toe week one, tearing the stabilizing ligaments under the joint. In addition to being extremely painful, turf toe limits the toe's ability to flex. And Brock told me any movement in the wrong direction can set him back. He said he is truly day-to-day. There is no timeline for his return. He called this injury so annoying, saying he's never dealt with something that lingers this long.
All right, so, wow. I mean, my immediate reaction, I hate to do this to you, Brock. I think you might need to just get the surgery and get it cleaned up right now. I cannot have this same injury bleeding over into the offseason. Like, it's a lost year for you. It sucks. It's so unfortunate. Like, I honestly think my heart goes out to him because I know he cares so much and he tries so hard. But the reality is, like, his season's cooked. So you're telling me he tore ligaments and it's the right big toe, so it's the plant leg, and then any movement could re-injure it, and there's no timeline for a return? I mean, look, I hate to do this to him. And independent of quarterback controversy, your franchise quarterback, who you gave $200 million to, has a torn ligament in his toe. And he has no timetable for return. I think you need to get the surgery. I think you need to just call it a wrap and just say it's a freaking unfortunate thing. And it's a lost year. And that sucks. And just be 100% healthy for next year.
I mean, I talked about it with you and Bonte the other week. I was like, man, was that even on the table? I brought it up only because
I know
in hindsight, they should have just done exactly what Joe Burrow did. And now clearly it wasn't as severe as Burrow's, where they were just like, all right, you're getting you under the knife. Let's go.
Maybe it was worse after months. The Jacksonville Jaguar game.
Correct.
I don't know.
And that's another part of this. If it did get worse and you thought you could have had surgery, you already knew what you had with Mac. You already could see the writing on the wall that Mac, you know what? We could win games with this guy. And if they could have gotten the surgery, they should have. Right now, we don't know. Can he come back this week, next week? But that did not make me feel good.
No.
If you want Brock Purdy to come back sooner rather than later.
And look, like on the list of things like coming out of that game, it's relatively low today. But tomorrow and the rest of the week, we'll definitely be talking about it. So, look, I don't want to lose my mind. It was a great win. The team is 5-2.
Yep.
I'm a Niner fan. The team is 5-2. It just sucks for Brock, and it sucks for the team, big picture. All these contracts, it's like hundreds of millions of dollars, and none of them feels like are coming back this year.
Brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Victory Monday here on the Morning Roast, 888-957-9570. You are the guest. The people are the guest today. And let's go out to the phone lines. Duke is in San Bruno.
What's up, Duke?
Duke! What's up, man?
What's up, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. Hands down, Robert Saleh is the best coach in the NFL right now. That's all there is to that. George Kittle and Third and Jennings, there's a boost there. It's not tangible, but it was obvious last night. So great to have them back. We're not talking about Eddie freaking Pinheiro. Are you kidding me? This guy is money.
17 of 17.
Yeah. Okay. So that's another big boost. Now, there was one play last night that I lost my mind. I think it was in the third quarter. It was 3rd and 1.
Oh, my God.
Juszczyk goes up to a brick wall. I actually thought that play was going to be a turning point in the game. Thankfully, it wasn't. The left side was so open, a guy with a broken leg and street shoes could have picked up 20 yards. I just don't know what happened.
It was such a bad play call.
Thanks, Duke.
How many times, and I love Kyle, how many times are you going to hand the ball off to Kyle Juszczyk on a short yardage situation and not get a damn thing?
Stop.
You just mentioned two Kyles.
Stop.
I'll raise you another Kyle, because Kyle Madsen had the tweet of the night from our sister station, ESPN 1320. Kyle, with those fullback dives, is now 0 for the last 9 seasons with that when it comes to Kyle Juszczyk. He's 0 for 9. That's what it feels like. Has he ever succeeded in doing that?
And then Juice tries to bounce it out to the outside and loses more yards.
You don't have that. Hey, you're not that
Go
guy.
Go down, dog.
Hey, you're not that guy, pal. You're not. Just don't do that again. I would have rather just seen a long QB sneak. Just do that instead.
Look, Juice made a nice catch. He's a useful player. He actually had some really nice blocks out on the edge. Just the short yardage runs are just, they're not, I'm sorry, no. Like, no, don't do that. And I actually thought Brian Robinson gave him a couple of really nice runs yesterday. He still runs tentative and upright.
Very upright.
I'm not a lover of Brian Robinson currently.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live in the Free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Spadoni and Chasky, 1 hour down. This show is flying by already. Niners are 5-2. We're reacting to an unbelievable win last night on Sunday Night Football. What?
Niners are 5-2. That's the sixth time they've been this record or better since 2010. And the other 5 times, they made it to the NFC Championship game at minimum.
Lock it in.
Wow.
Lock it in.
5-2.
NFC, I mean, we have Robin Sanbruno saying Super Bowl or bust now. I mean, is that where Niner fans are at? Let's pump the brakes just a little bit. You still are playing with the backup. You don't have Fred Warner for the rest of the season. You don't have Nick Bosa for the rest of the season. But hey, you got Tatum Bethune. You got Chase Lucas. You got Bryce Huff making plays. You got Daryl Luter making plays. What was that that Super Bowl defense called back in the 70s with the Dolphins?
Steel Curtain? No, we're talking about the Dolphins. The no-name defense.
The no-name defense.
Yeah, I thought you meant the Steelers for a second.
I'm kind of feeling like that with the Niners, although we know the names. Yeah. Nationally, no one knows who these people are. No-name defense part 2? I don't hate it.
Well, they're not the Avengers.
They're not. The Thunderbolts or whatever? The recent movie where it's like the cast-offs of the Avengers.
Well, they used to be the A-team, right? I don't know if you guys ever watched Mr. T.
No, I remember.
A-team.
Yeah, yeah. But they had like a remake of it with like Liam Neeson and Bradley Cooper.
So this would be like the C team.
That's just the B team, maybe? The B team? No, because they're playing above average, Joe.
No, they're playing amazing, but like they're not headliners by any stretch.
They're the no names. That's all right.
The opening acts?
The opening acts, not bad. We'll workshop it. We'll go to ChatGPT for this. They'll probably be better. Michael's in Concord wants to join the conversation.
Third down, fullback. I know.
It's awful. Focus more on the Christian McCaffrey two rushing touchdowns.
I wanted to fire my remote through the television.
I know you do. You and LJ both. What's up, Michael? You're on the morning roast.
What's up, fellas? I am feeling good. Bethune's a beast, man.
Yes.
Seems like we just keep pumping out linebackers, and doesn't matter who we get, who we throw out there, they're going to come out and get tight of the ball, all that stuff. But real quick with the Atlanta Falcons, I just needed Bijan Robinson to score 5 more points. How do you not put the ball in his hands in that last drive? How? He's your best player.
I know.
I feel you on that, Michael. No, I feel you on that. Your phone's cutting out a little bit.
Drake London's a stud. But I would be like, season on the line, game on the line. Not season, but game on the line. And it's 4th and 1. You could have kicked a 53-yard field goal, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I throwing to Drake London on that play. By the way, was Bijan even on the field
on
that play?
I was just going to say, he wasn't even on that play. Are
Algier.
You kidding me?
Yeah, Algier.
Yeah, that's pretty stupid.
Boom, Mustafa, absolutely.
Only Pete
wrecked.
Carroll thinks that's a good play call. As he has Reggie Bush on the sidelines. And let me hand it off to Lendell White.
I'm really out on that guy. I don't even want to hear his name. All week, I don't want to hear the name
Pete
Carroll.
I thought Chip was the man.
Pete's not the man. I know that. Who's having a worse final act, him or Belichick? 888-957-9570. I know who's having a great, the third, fourth act for the Niners? I mean, Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh. The move of the offseason was bringing back Robert Saleh.
And signing Mac Jones.
I mean,
let's call it spade a spade.
It is, right? It's not Brian Robinson, but Bryce Huff, another guy. Think about this. If I were to tell you through 7 weeks, Joe.
Bryce Huff would lead your defense. Tatum Bethune would be in the middle.
Christian McCaffrey would have like 1,000 touches, I think that would be the part that stops you the most. Like, Are you serious?
Mac
you
Jones
keep beating this guy?
Is 4-1.
Mac Jones is 4-1.
4-1. And that's kind of crazy.
No Fred Warner. No Nick Bosa.
But speaking of which, Fred Warner at the facility, at the game,
in the suite,
in the booth, on the field. Does anyone know where Nick Bosa is?
I'm glad you brought that up. Again, I'm not saying like Nick doesn't. He doesn't have to be there. He doesn't. He can go rehab, do his thing.
It would be nice to see him.
But that's the leader of the franchise, man. Like, Fred's the leader. You see what the stadium was lighting up?
Just
seeing his face, seeing his little son right there with his wife, with his foot up, in the tank top, just looking yoked and chiseled. Be like, dude, I'm here. He's doing the pregame. He's on the sidelines. Like, you don't think that means something to the people in that locker room?
Absolutely.
You don't think that means something to Tatum, Bethune, and D. Winters?
He high-fived every single guy coming through that locker room at the end of the game.
It was inspiring to me, Joe.
I agree.
I wanted to get here at 4 in the morning with Sam. Now, I didn't. I slept in, and I got here at 5 and 15-ish. But you know what? I wanted to get in here early. He fired me up there. It did. You were there, right, Carter? You're at the game?
Yeah, I was. It was wonderful.
Well, you wanted to hop in here. You looked like you had something to say.
Yeah, I was going to play you some sound, actually, of George Kittle talking about Fred Warner's appearance there and how it bothered him, actually.
We haven't even talked a lot about George Kittle. Play it.
He is the aura farming king, I will say that. How about Fred Warner being shown on the scoreboard, and we almost had to go on a silent count because we couldn't hear a play call? How selfish of Fred Warner. Goodness gracious. No, I only had to give one speech today. It was fantastic. I'm going to divvy that up. I don't want to give the speech every single time. We have a lot of leaders on this team. We have a lot of voices on this team. And, you know, I'll speak when I need to. But we have a lot of voices on this team that need to be heard and that will inspire people. And so, and also, like, I mean, if you needed inspiration to play football on Sunday Night Football in Levi Stadium, I don't really need you on my team. And
I agree. God, I love Kittle.
Well,
Did you see who's in the building?
Who?
All of the WWE.
Oh, I saw Bailey was there. Yeah. CM Punk, I guess, was there, too.
Oh, CM Punk was there. My brother was probably super fired up.
Well, they're all, like, when I stopped caring about the WWE, which was, like, ruthless aggression era. So, yeah.
So while you bring this, we open the door up. Happy birthday to my godson and my nephew, George. Five years old. What a big victory. A Sunday Night Football, Niners over the Falcons. Almost like it was when I was 5 years old. That's what I grew up with the Niners beating the Falcons, you know, pretty easily down the stretch. I love that. Happy birthday, George. I love you.
Is he named after George Kittle? That's the question. Or is it King George?
No, it's named after one of, I believe, Laura's family members.
Oh, okay, never mind then. Laura, obviously your sister-in-law, that is. All right, so there you go.
Yeah.
George Kittle is back, baby! He had the impact on the running game, not on the passing game, but that'll all come in time. Although there was part of me with that fullback dive, was like, we couldn't just, like, had a play for George Kittle. I don't know, your Hall of Famer. If you just need something, just toss it to him.
And run it again. He wanted to get 40 rushes in.
Hey, you know what?
Run it again.
Are we still talking about the touches, by the way, with Christian McCaffrey? Maybe on the other side. It's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank, which is here for you, here for good.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey,
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Me ordering a pastrami sandwich with extra coleslaw seems very unhinged.
It's not aggressive.
But that's how fired up I am after that victory.
Joe, the people don't know. We've been up for like 4 hours already.
Well, I know, but okay? The boss man's looking at me like I'm an alien. And I'm like, hey, look, dude, you waking up at 5:15 is not the same as waking up at 3:30.
With his weekly...
Technically 3:25.
His daily extra large cup of 7-Eleven coffee. Judging you? Stop it. Yeah, I'm getting after you, big boss man.
Well, I'm trying to lose this belly, and I just...
You're talking about you're working out every day.
I know, but I can't be eating Reuben sandwiches every morning.
Maybe you need to get into that locker room with Robert Saleh. He'll get you in shape. I know that. He's gotten all these guys flying around. Chase Lucas, Daryl Luter. Why not Joe Shasky?
It's a good point.
Right? It's the no-name defense part two, and they're doing it with everyone. There's zero excuses. You know what? Why the 49ers is so freaking refreshing to watch. And just coming off last year, and I brought it up, and I do believe they're just so much more mentally tough than last season. And a lot of that has to do with coaching and just having an arm around you, being a fiery personality. That stuff matters. As we're, you know, monitoring the Giants and their managerial search for Tony Vitello, apparently, according to some, there might be some mutual interest there. He's the front runner for the Giants managerial job, University of Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello. If anything comes down the line, breaking news, we'll relay that to you. I promise. We're monitoring that. Warriors play tomorrow, open up their season against the Lakers. There's a lot happening in the Bay Area right now. But the best story in the Bay, bar none, is this 49ers team and what they've been able to do. And Robert Saleh being a massive part of that. Like, honestly, Joe, like, did you think you were going to get this version of this Niners defense? Like, when Robert Saleh...
What?
When you heard that Robert Saleh was coming back to be the defensive coordinator of the 49ers, how did you feel about that?
Initially, I was lukewarm because I was like, we're going to go back down the same road. And, like, I'm a big believer in, like, I don't want to go backwards, right? And, like, whether it's Bruce Bochy, you know, Don Nelson came back to the Warriors. And then it just, like, burned and crashed. I mean, we believe was great. And people all remember that. But I remember them deliberately tanking at the end to keep their picks.
Mm.
And them not suiting up anyone so they could get Harrison Barnes.
Mm.
They were going to lose their lottery pick that year.
Yeah.
So I was very lukewarm, and I was way wrong. He's grown as a defensive coordinator. I'm seeing different things from him, you know, regarding how he's bringing pressure, where he's bringing blitzes. You know, the basically cover three zone defense that Pete Carroll ran, which is what he was a disciple of, could not be more different than what they're doing right now. I'm seeing combinations of man and zone. I'm seeing single high. I'm seeing some cover three. I'm seeing some cover two. I've seen them bring six. I've seen them bring edge rushers. I've seen them bring corners. I've seen them bring safeties. Like, he has really mixed it up. And I think the key for me isn't just what he's calling. It's that whoever's number gets called has the confidence and is prepared to make plays. That's big difference from just a play caller.
Let me just go through the names. You did this earlier. Let me just do it again. Tatum Bethune, not exactly a household name. We know him here. He was laying wood yesterday. Malik Mustafa, back, laying wood yesterday. Hell, even Jair Brown. Yeah, Jair Brown, who had 5 solo tackles yesterday. He had a hard hit in that game. Daryl Luter Jr.
Yep.
Bryce Huff. Malik Turner. Malik Turner had a hit in that game, too. You got Jason Pinnock. You got D'Amore Lenore, who not even nationally, I don't think people know who Lenore is. Maybe, but not like Sam Okwuanu. The list goes on and on and on of names where you're just like, how is this team that good? They held them to 10 points. Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts. These are top 10 picks in the NFL draft. People, Drake London, first-round talent. Michael Penix, a top 10 pick. Those are household names. They're the ones that are supposed to be doing what the Niners did yesterday. They couldn't do it. Coaching matters, people. Coaching matters. Kyle Shanahan, this is why I take him over most coaches in the NFL. This is why I'm taking Robert Saleh over most DCs in the NFL.
Possibly.
The juice is worth the squeeze with these guys.
Shanahan's been so good.
It's been so good.
Did you see what happened? He got all giddy.
Why?
Because it looked like Kirk Cousins was going to go into the game.
Stop
I'm teasing.
Well, there was some shots that, no, Penix took some hits yesterday. I was like, oh my God, for a guy that has no ACLs, right? Does he not have any ACLs? Is that a real thing? Like, does he not have any? Or do they?
Who was the guy, DeJuan Blair? Was that the guy's name, the basketball player that was drafted by the Spurs who didn't have ACLs?
Like, that's
no, I'm dead serious.
Insane.
Look up DeJuan Blair. I believe he had no ACLs.
You are correct. Yeah,
I am correct.
DeJuan Blair, yeah.
DeJuan Blair.
DeJuan? I thought it was DeJuan.
No, it was DaJuan.
Yeah, now I'm so confused. Now,
I'm a big DeJuan Blair fan.
You're thinking DeJuan a man, the movie.
What? Was he Purdue? What school did he go to?
Pitt.
That's what it was.
No ACLs, huh?
You like that?
Well, it's basically Michael Penix yesterday. As he was trying to run around, he just didn't look confident either. Like, this is my little takeaway. We'll get to the calls. J-Dub, Tony, and Bobby. It's all about y'all's and your calls today. 888-957-9570. We are guest-free.
I didn't know
people.
Rick Tittle was making an appearance today.
Rick Tittle, 888-957-9570. I love you, Rick. That was my three of an impression of Rick Tittle. But Michael Penix, like, he's got talent, and you kept hearing it on the broadcast yesterday. Oh, he's got, look at that arm every time. And Chris Collinsworth kept saying this every time he throws it. Wow. Just the arm talent. The arm talent. I was like, yeah, he's got arm talent. He doesn't look very confident, though.
No,
like,
I don't think he sees the field well.
He wasn't seeing the field, and whether that's, you know, what the Niners were doing. But like, I've seen a bunch of Falcons because I feel like they've had like three or four primetime games this year. And like, every time I watch it, I just come away like, okay, I kind of see it. Like, he had some throws, some back shoulder throws yesterday.
Oh, he had some really nice
impressive
throws.
But like, the middle of the field, they didn't target at all.
No.
It was all outside and on the sidelines. I was just like, man, they have some weapons here. You'd think they'd go to Kyle Pitts in the middle of the field. You'd think they'd go to Drake London in the middle of the field. Darnell Mooney has some speed, and I know he had that Darnell Mooney should have caught that ball he threw late yesterday on that final drive. That was a bomb. But I don't know. I didn't come away super impressed with Michael Penix, but again, part of that is because of the job Robert Saleh was doing defensively, and we talked about it heading into last week, Joe. Hey, make him beat you. Make him a pocket passer. And that's what they did to a T yesterday. And they only got 10 points. Let's go to J-Dub in Union City. He called us last week. What's up, J-Dub?
What's up, fellas? Good morning. Obviously, first and foremost, congrats to y'all and the Niners. Yeah, like you said, I called in last week. I told you what I was worried about and everything I was worried about happened. But, yeah, like y'all said, this game was a total summation of coaching matters. Right, like you said it, Joe. Like, we're a very basic vanilla offense that's just run on. We're talented than those people, but if you can out coach the talent, you'll win. And I think that's what, obviously, with Kyle and Saleh running that offense and defense. Good luck finding a better tandem of play callers and schemers in the NFL. And then lastly, like this, because obviously I know y'all got Niners fans you got to get to. Nothing is worse to me is like if someone calls you a losing franchise and they get to back it up. It's another thing when it's a kicker that does it and gets to back it up. Because remember, when Pinheiro signed, guess who the other team was? And he said, no, I want to go to San Francisco because I want a chance to win. He gets to kick the 56-yarder. We don't trust the kicker. We signed to kick a 52-yarder. So we go for the 4th-and-1. I mean, I don't know what else. You know.
Why was Bijan on the sidelines?
That's enough right there. I couldn't tell you because here's the thing, right? You talked about a 4th-and-1, Tyler's in the game. What just happened? What a play! Two plays earlier to Tyler.
He got blasted by Malik Mustafa. Yes.
So, do you think that you're like, even though he's your battering ram of a running back, do you think he's a threat to run the ball in that situation?
No,
not at all. So, again, that's what I'm talking about with coaching matters. Like, you're not fooling anybody by having Tyler out there with what just happened.
You know, J Dub, I'm going to tell you this: that Falcon roster, it's different, but in terms of all the talent and no coaching, reminds me so much of the Niners during Singletary's era.
It's the curse of Young Wei Koo is what I'm calling it. Ever since they released Young Wei, it's not been good for them.
Dude, all right? Pinero?
Dude, he's got swagger. Dude. Eddie Money, Eddie Nero, Pinero bread is what Sam called him last week. I love
since
that.
Fred, Otis, Amy, have I felt so good about a 49er wearing number 18.
Wow, that's a deep cut. You feel good about that one.
Fred, Otis, Amy?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Sac State?
It's pretty good. There we go. Stingers up, baby. Sac State. Let's
look
go.
It up. Look it up.
I will. I think Eddie Pinero spoke post-game. We'll get to some of the sound because he had some really good stuff.
He didn't need to speak. Well, he was celebrating, like throwing the money signs up. He's like the Johnny Manziel of kickers.
You know what? I'm not mad at it. He's got swagger, and you know what? This team needed the swagger. As Jake Moody, say what you want about him as a kicker, didn't have any swag at all.
Hey, I'm rooting for him with the Bears.
He was perfect yesterday.
I'm legitimately rooting for him.
He's been a positive for them. You know what? Could this be a win-win scenario? Maybe, just maybe. But Pinero, for as much as we talked about, we even had the Carolina guy on to talk about kicking, which is hilarious. 55 yards plus. I mean, he's been money. He's been with room to spare. They said they don't like him kicking that far. Well, he's got the leg for it. That's all I care about as a fan.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Joe, special teams hasn't been a problem for them. Knock on wood. Well, there was almost a touchdown, but we won't talk about that.
No, they've been much better.
Much better. Much more improved.
Although Sky Moore scares the ever-living hell out of me.
And he broke a couple tackles yesterday. You see Sky Moore out there? He had like a 15-yarder.
And then him running out of the way as they down one at the five.
Well, you know, that's called growth right there, right? I don't want to touch it. If it's inside the 10, just don't touch the ball. That's literally it. Just don't touch it.
Joe.
Bradley Pinion.
I'd rather never put a punter back there, quite frankly. And just let them down it wherever they down it, and everyone just get out of the way. Don't even block. Just wherever they punt it to is where they punt it to. And if they down it the one, so be it. Like, I'm dead serious on that.
You know who's someone we never punt on? That's Bobby in Los Altos. We're never going to. If he's calling at our station, we're always going
to
punt.
Before you go to him, Belichick has a rule. You do not reach over the goal line when you're in a goal line situation for fear of a touchback, meaning the ball getting fumbled out of your hands and going into the end zone. My rule, I'm dead serious on this. If I know that I don't have any returners that scare anyone and I'm afraid that they can even catch the ball, I don't even put anyone back there. That's what I would do. I'm dead serious on that. That's 30 years, 40 years of Niner football that is ingrained in me, that has ruined me when it comes to punt returns.
Bill Belichick, by the way, 0-1 all time against Cal Berkeley. Let it be known. Tough L for them on Friday night. Was Jordan Hudson on the sideline, Carter? You guys were there. No?
I was looking for a long time. It's been on pretty much the whole game.
Well, she might have been taking a class there on campus. Let's go to Bobby in Los Altos. What's up, Bobby?
Taking a class.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, obviously I want to talk about the game, but I wanted to start with this, and I swear this is a compliment, Shasky. This is, in all seriousness, my favorite segment is Shasky the morning after a home game. Instead of, you know, getting the free press seat with the chicken wings and the celery sticks, right? You sit with the people. And then I was thinking last night, oh, the brother's going to a home game, and he's going to get up at 3:30, some mad respect. And then I was informed you didn't make it. No shade. It's unfortunate. But then mad respect to Carter for going out last night. So I'm sure your wife made you a nice breakfast skillet this morning before you headed out the door.
Did she?
Yeah, of course, Bobby. Thanks.
Yeah.
All right, brother. And then, you know, I blessed you and Bonte last year with a little haiku that I had written for Malik Mustafa. So I'd just like to say it again. It was something like, heat seeking missile, getting down fast, six coming quick, Malik Mustafa. I mean, it's incredible. That guy, didn't he have the same injury as Brandon Ayuk? And then he's out there just throwing his body around like, he just don't care. I mean, it's crazy. He's scary. He's a scary man. And I'd like to say this, the most hackneyed expression of football, next man up, you know, whatever. It's just an expression, but my God, this team, it's like, you better put a picture of this team in the dictionary. And in recent memory, I don't think I've ever been as proud and as happy. And I swear, I'm still smiling whenever I think about it, is Green Dot for Tatum Bethune. Mm. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy how much he showed out, the number of tackles he had. And it was interesting, the press conference, he actually said it hurt him that they didn't give him credit for that sack. And it was funny because he said, I actually care about sacks. I don't care about tackles. In my mind, I'm just like, brother, you're the Green Dot. I care about your tackles, not your sacks. But honestly, I'm on a high. I mean, this to me is like 10 times greater victory than that Rams victory. And I'm not sure why.
Wow.
I'm just so happy for Tatum Bethune. And, Malik Mustafa, I mean, oh my God, just welcome back. Please don't injure yourself. And then, yeah, I mean, I guess Purdy should have gotten the Burrow surgery, right? I mean, it's crazy. But hey, Max, stay upright, because I really don't want to see Adrian Martinez.
That's Bobby in Los Altos.
You ended on a Debbie Downer.
Dude, no, but that was that's the happiest I think I've ever heard Bobby in Los Altos on these airwaves. And I kid you not, that story's true, by the way. He says, there's nothing I prefer more, this is Bobby saying, than listening to you, Joe, like reacting after a Niners win. Yeah. He literally called last year, and I was producing, and I screened the call. And I was like, what's up, Bobby? He's like, Spadoni. He's like, Spadoni, no offense, But when you're filling in for when you're filling in for Shasky, I get a little upset because I miss not hearing Shasky fired up after a big win. I was like, damn, Bobby, just say you don't like me anymore. But he wasn't saying that. He just loves you so much.
I appreciate that.
He misses you when you don't have the reactions. So that means you can't miss a reaction at all this year, all right?
There are 17 games. I live for immediate reactions to Niner games.
And the fans do, too.
I live for them.
That's what these are the games we live for. Like it's insane how they are 5-2. Like, take a step back. They have no right to be 5-2.
No one can take a step back in life. I don't know if you know this. Everything is immediate, like pivoting and screaming and yelling at the top of our lungs. We can never have perspective.
Oh, never. Well,
we're not allowed. Like, for example, there's a moron in the YouTube chat who's just coming, just gonna see CMC look like he did last year. Dude, it's the best game he's had all year. Hands down, it's the best Christian McCaffrey game, not just in a year, in 2 years.
Wait, I'm confused. What are the YouTube chat? What are they complaining
just some
about?
Of the people are saying that I said that Christian McCaffrey was washed, and I'm going to come back and say it over and over and over again. Like, he did look a little tentative as a runner. You know, as a pass catcher, he was very productive. This game yesterday wasn't just his best game in a year. It's his best game in 2 years. He hasn't looked that spry, that explosive. His feet looked unbelievably quick. His ability to like maneuver and the vision through the hole and the cutbacks and the finishing runs. I mean, the guy looked amazing. It looked like 2023 Christian McCaffrey.
Well, it wasn't Christian McCaffrey being washed. It was the entire running game was washed for the 49ers. They couldn't do anything.
So let me ask you.
That's not a hot take. They couldn't run the ball.
Is it just as simple as Kittle came back?
Well, this is what Christian McCaffrey had to say about it after the game, Joe, about how big of a deal it is to have George Kittle back.
Yeah, it's a different ball game when he's in there. You know, even when he doesn't have a big statistical game, the attention that he draws is, it opens so much up. You know, I mean, that's why, you know, football is the biggest team game on the planet. It always has been. It always will be. When you got guys like that on the field, just their presence alone strikes a lot of fear in coordinators, you know, and so you have to keep eyes on them. And, you know, some games it might be me that has these open lanes and has, you know, a good stashed line, whatever, and then other times it'll be him or whoever else is, you know, coming to the table. So that's why it's a team game, and having him out there is a big deal.
I don't want to go too deep into this opinion right now, but the fact that the offensive line and the run game is so dependent on George Kittle, look, that is amazing, and it shows how great he is as a player. I also now like am a believer of, boy, could you imagine if you actually invested in your offensive line with some draft capital, how good it could be? And then I could use Kittle not only in the run game, I could also use him in the passing game. It's like, wow. I mean, look, they looked amazing yesterday, and I think it was deeper than Kittle, but definitely clearly Kittle helped. I mean, it was clear and obvious. He didn't catch a pass yesterday.
No.
And it's the most explosive the run game's looked, again, in 2 years. Not a year. 2 years.
Here's more from Christian McCaffrey in 888-957-9570. Niner fans, where are you at? You are the guest today on a Victory Monday. The team is 5-2, and how could you doubt the 49ers? If you doubted the Niners at all at any point this season, I get it. You lose all those players. You lose your quarterback. You lose your Hall of Fame stalwarts on defense. You still doubting this team, Niner fans? 888-957-9570. And here's Christian McCaffrey being another leader on that team, talking about it being a team effort running the ball.
But also, I mean, we had guys go down on the O-line, too, and step up big. You know, we had guys like, you know, I don't know how many rotations we had today, but just everybody who came in and stepped up did such a great job. You know, Kyle always says it takes a whole team to be able to run the ball. You know, it takes receivers, it takes tight ends, obviously it takes O-line, it takes guys like Juice, it takes a quarterback being able to stay on the field on third down, and then it takes a defense stepping up so that you have opportunities to run. You're not super behind, so I've never heard a coach say that, but that makes so much sense to me. You know, to be able to run the ball is a huge team effort, and our guys allowed that to happen today.
And so Matt Hennessy filling in for Jake Brendel, and you know, do you know where he started his career, Joe? Matt Hennessy?
He was with Atlanta at one point.
He started his career with the Atlanta Falcons. 2020, he was a third round draft pick out of Temple. And played there for a couple seasons, had some knee injuries, was on the practice squad with the Eagles, came back to the Falcons after getting cut from the Eagles. So he's been with Atlanta through 2024. And then last year, the Niners signed him, and he's just kind of been that backup or third stringer at times, if you will. And he was thrust into action yesterday, didn't skip a beat. Didn't skip a beat at all. Thought he looked great.
Let me ask you this one, though. Did you see the halftime numbers on the Niners run game?
Oh, it was incredible. Joe, they had already 100 yards rushing.
They said, this is what it said on the broadcast. For those that are like, don't know, before contact, Christian McCaffrey had the most yards he's had in over a calendar year. 22 yards. 22 before contact. Not 50. Not 75. 22 yards. This is at half. That's the most he's had at any point, any game in 2 years. And then the most between the tackle yards since 2022, 60. So you're telling me his banner year in 2023, he didn't have 60 between the yards, between the tackles yards in the run game? That was like shocking to me. It also goes to tell you how dominant they are on the outside zone stuff. And how different last night's game plan was versus what they normally do.
It's pretty incredible because if you, I keep bringing this up, if you're going into this game with no preconceived notions about either of these teams, you would say the team wearing, you know, red was the team that was the better rushing team. That was not the narrative heading into this game.
No.
The Atlanta Falcons are the number one rushing. We're just going by yards per game on the ground. It's the Atlanta Falcons. The Niners are bottom five. They're one of the worst. And it was totally flipped on its head yesterday. And I think it caught all of us by surprise. But you know what? Nothing the Niners can do this season will surprise me anymore, Joe. I'm just going to say it. Nothing they do this season will surprise me. It won't. Like, how can you be more shocked?
I can always be surprised.
Oh, I guess if Adrian Martinez comes in and they still keep winning, I guess I would be shocked by that. But you know what?
I mean, you know, we didn't know the rules in overtime, you know? So it's like, yeah.
Stop it.
I can always be.
Don't give me that today. With good vibes only.
I can always be surprised.
Hey, he learned from his mistakes, all right? That's what people do. Kyle Shanahan learned from that.
Look, when Colton McKivitz came out and they were doing the opening lineups, they're like, he's the fourth-ranked tackle out of PFF, out of like 64 or 70 qualifying tackles. I was like, what?
Joe, they started.
That was shocking.
And NBC always does the, you know, Mac Jones, Alabama, or Michael Penix, Washington, right? They always do the schools.
D-Mode said something pretty interesting. He was like, San Francisco Hyenas
or something like that.
He said something like
that. My favorite all time was when Jared Allen was like, homeschooled. Hi, Mom. That's the all time. Or body built by Taco Bell, whoever that was. That's great. Cam Jordan always has some funny ones.
Homeschool kids.
But dude, they start saying all the different starters for the Niners on defense. I was like, who are?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Are these like people are who are these guys? This is like that's what makes it so special and how they won that game because they were going up against Bijan Robinson and Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Michael Penix and all these big names. And by the way, the Falcons did end up starting their left tackle, Jake Matthews. They didn't start their third stringer. I know you were out on Friday. We had Carl Dukes who covers the Falcons over on our sister station in Atlanta. He's like, yeah, dude, they might have like a fourth stringer as their left tackle. It ended up being Jake Matthews.
Yeah, he ended up playing.
But dude, their offensive line got cooked. They got smoked. Again, Sam Okwuonu, guys that aren't household names. Bryce Huff, who was left on the scrap heap. The Eagles are like, nah, we're good. We don't need you. We'll eat the money. We don't need you, Bryce. So you know what? Robert Saleh brings him back over after some success in New York. And he's thrived, man. He's thrived. Marquise Siegel, you know, Renardo Green. You see all these people make it. Jordan Elliott. Jordan Elliott. You called him Jake Elliott earlier. You didn't even know his name. That's the kicker for the Eagles, Joe. Jordan Elliott. He's a Niners defensive lineman.
Yeah, I mean, how did I know? Jordan
how
Elliott.
Did I know?
Jordan Elliott, Lakeside Presbyterian kindergarten.
There you go, right?
Pre-K.
Shout out Splash Cousin.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I always appreciate it when they go like the middle school, they shout out their high schools. I think that's kind of cool, but, you know.
Joe Spadoni, Palma.
Palma High School, baby. Hey, big, big win over Salinas, our rival.
Joe Shasky, St. Gabriel's.
There you go. Reardon, though, right?
Yeah, I know. I was going grammar school.
SF
like,
State?
We need to get as low as we possibly can. I actually went to SF State recently. I was doing a helping one of the kids who was doing an interview for the, it's called BECCA.
Yeah, Broadcasting Electronic Communications Program. That
it's
was
honestly a really cool little campus that it they is. Have going there.
Yeah, well, they got the whole new, they literally started building that whole new building that building where it's now like brand new state of the art, you know, radio,
oh,
all
it's
that.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, I didn't get that. We got like the old school from like the 1970s.
Oh, I mean, they had studios that we would envy.
No, seriously.
I'm not joking.
Yeah, it's insane.
And they actually had like a prep room.
Yes,
you know, where
I
like
get,
the sales
dude,
staff wasn't there.
I get any of that.
Unlike ours, where everyone just kind of hangs out in a 10 by 10 cubicle over here.
Well, at least even in the old building for SF State, we had like this like crusty like couch that you would hang on over there. And that thing had been there for like 30 years.
It bothers me.
Don't look at me like that. Tony in San Jose will get to you in a
outside
second.
A rusty couch. How am I supposed to look at you?
Like, look, there's obviously a Jake Brendel. You want him to be healthy or whatever. And Hennessy filling in was admirable. I mean, outside of the Brock Purdy news last night, was there anything negative to come out of that game? Niner fans should be soaring so high right now. After you're 5-2, you've won 4 games with the backup. He looks great. Shanahan's been amazing. Robert Saleh's just an incredible defensive coordinator.
Your kicker is kicking. Thomas Morstead looks good.
You're developing linebackers at a crazy rate. You're the lineman right now, this guy Bryce Huff, the Eagles are paying half his salary.
I know.
You got him for nothing. Okawanu looks like he's taking a quantum leap forward. Micah Williams, another step forward. Alfred Collins, another step forward. I mean, like, what is there to be negative about?
Well, there was a negative in the chat. You had something to say about a certain player for certain 49ers first round draft pick. You want to talk about that?
Oh, well, Michael's an inside guy, not an outside guy.
Okay.
They're like, that's, I mean, I like him. He's a good pick, but like, he's not an edge rusher at all.
There was a play there where he just completely gave up when he was rushing the left tackle there. And it was,
he's an edge run stuffer, not an edge pressure guy. Those are two different things. And he's a very useful player, but like, in terms of edge rushing, that's not his thing. But that's why Bryce Huff's so important, because he's that speed you don't have. Even Nick Martin made a play on special teams. Get him on the field, for crying out loud.
You had another negative there, Carl?
I was going to say, there is one negative for me. Mike Kell didn't step up to the bell last night for me. I thought he was actually really good last week, and this week he just didn't step up.
Yeah, but he there were 3 or 4 plays where he ate the space so that the linebacker could fill the gap. And
yeah,
I know that that's not sexy.
Yeah, I need a little more.
I know. I'm just saying, like, if you and I were looking at the film, Bethune gets a lot of tackles because of guys like him.
But even Alfred Collins, he made a big play there at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, so
how about Chase Lucas 2 times in closeout games, the Rams game and now this game? He has been a big part of making big time plays at the end.
I think
this guy needs to keep playing.
The Michael Williams one, listen, he's a rookie still. So if this is a problem like a year or two from now where it's just run stuffing, sure, I will listen on that, because you don't draft a guy in the top 15 of the first round to be just a run stuffer. You don't. Not
you
at that position.
You know my theory on D-tackle.
What?
Well, my theory on D-tackle is, like, if you draft a guy in the first round as a D-tackle,
it better be Jalen Carter or Aaron Donald.
Exactly. They better be a 3-down absolute stud who actually can rush the passer.
Right.
Otherwise, like, you can get those rotational pieces later on in the draft.
Jalen Carter looked amazing yesterday in that win over the Vikings.
Of course he did.
Tony in San Jose wants to join in the conversation. 888-957-9570. What's up, Tony? You're on the Morning Roast.
Hey, good morning, Roast. I love you guys, man.
Thanks for taking my call. Yep, absolutely. What you got, man?
Hey, man, I called in on Friday. I said if Kittle played on Sunday, it's going to be McCaffrey's first 100-yard rusher.
Whoa.
Well, I would love to welcome back the CMC show. And I love the Kittle time, guys. Friggin' love it, man. I love this trench warfare style of game that the Niners are playing right now, and it's going to take us to the promised land, man, no matter who's playing and who's starting. We're coming.
Tony, what is the promised land for you? You say the promised land. What is that?
You know, I'd like to see at least second round playoffs.
Okay. You know what? I don't hate that, the way they're playing. I keep watching this team expecting the wheels to fall off, Joe, and I need to stop watching it like that. No, seriously, I keep watching. I was like, You can't keep getting away with these types of injuries. You can't just keep winning in spite of losing Hall of Fame talent. You can't. That just doesn't happen in this league.
No, but
the league
think,
catches up to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, normally, but like one of the more injured teams that I can remember that went on to win it all was the Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers. The team was decimated with injuries. And
that was a long time ago.
What was number 44, the big goofy running back who ran really hard?
Starks?
Yeah, he was running hard. Like they had all these randos that were playing for the Green Bay Packers.
B.J. Raji was so sick that run, though. He was so good.
They had a lot of random guys.
He was B.J. Raji. I think he had his neck or something. He ended up having to end his career short. And then
Seawood came back, and he was good.
A.J. Hawk and Clay Matthews, obviously, in the middle there. And yeah. That's a deep cut right there.
We're talking 15 years ago.
Right.
And what was that, 09?
Yeah, the Rashard Mendenhall Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah. He had a fumble in that game, as you remember. Yeah, they lost him the game.
Rashard Mendenhall.
No, I think that was 2010 or 11, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
09.
Because I was in high school for sure. 09 was the Saints. Colts? 888-957-957.
Yeah, and it was when Peyton threw the interception.
Hank Basket. Yeah, the rest is history. Yeah. But the 49ers, man. Hey, we had someone call. We had Robin Sanbruno saying Super Bowl or bust. I don't know if he actually meant that, but I love Rob.
They're the best.
We had Tony in San Jose saying,
fire
hey,
the coach. Now it's Super Bowl or bust.
Now we're saying second round of the playoffs. I'll take that.
Brock's the greatest quarterback since Montana. Now it's like, no, actually it's Mac.
It's actually Mac. And before you know it, it'll be Adrian Martinez. And then who
CMC's
else?
Washed.
And now he's
not.
Even
I thought he lost a step. Now he looks amazing.
200 all-purpose yards yesterday. 201 to be exact.
Kittle's the greatest left tackle tight end. End of all time.
Do you want to hear from George Kittle?
That even makes sense.
He puts a smile on my face whenever I see him.
He has new ink. Did you notice that?
He always does.
No, like the whole shoulder, bicep, that was a lot of new ink.
Like from like the last few weeks is what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that was all relatively new. Yeah.
You know what?
He got more work done.
Yeah, you ever going to get a tattoo in your life?
No.
No? Not in your DNA?
No, I'm good.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm more likely to visit Tatooine than I am to get a tattoo.
Wow, look at this nerd over here. He's talking Star. Hey, Carl, I don't even know this. That's a Star Wars reference.
Me and the little guy watched Star Wars on Saturday night, and he was like glued in.
Oh, we're on the Power Rangers right now. Benny's go, go, Power Rangers.
Oh, nice.
It's like the Mighty Morphin ones, though. It's from like the 90s, the old school. Oh, yeah. They have them all on Netflix. Hilarious, by the way. Hilarious. The whole thing.
Are you at where the Green Ranger turns into the White Ranger?
Yeah, we haven't got there. So the Green Ranger just turned good. Now we're going to get to the White Ranger, and then we'll watch the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie with Ivan Ooze, of course. Remember that one? That's a throwback.
I remember all of them. My brother was obsessed with Mighty Morphin Power
Nora,
Rangers.
Nora, of course, wants to be the Pink Ranger, and Benny wants to be green/red. He hasn't picked yet.
It was awful. Like, looking back at it, I was like, it's so bad.
Yeah, but the nostalgia's hidden for me, so it's like I'm remembering all this stuff. Remember the Happy Meal toys you used to get with the Power Rangers. You had the little animals attached to them, the Zords, I think they were called. Yeah, so I'm going all over the place. Brendan, SF, get us back on track. What a win last night, Brendan.
Oh, it was incredible. I was trying not to wake my kids up long. Yeah. The coaching staff is in their bag. Shanahan is locked in. I was explaining to my girlfriend how Sala was about to run through a wall in that fourth quarter. He was foaming at the mouth on the sideline. My one criticism is Juwan Jennings has been popping balls in the air instead of catching them lately, and that led to Mac's first interception, which it was not on him at all. It was 100% on Tuesday, popping that ball up instead of grabbing his hands on it. But the one thing I did notice as I was looking at my fantasy team and Kittle was on the bench, he had 0 points last night. And I want to call out Shanahan for getting him back to game speed without giving him a game plan. Get him out there, let him hit people, let him get back into the feel of the game. Kittle's going to have a monster week next week. And that was an amazing call on Shanahan because you know he wants to get Kittle involved. But he wants to slow play it to make sure he's not getting another injury. And I'm loving what I'm seeing from the Niners right now.
I will disagree with you on the Juwan Jennings Mac thing. I thought it was, whether you want to say 60-40, 50-50, Mac threw a medicine ball, and Juwan Jennings, who's hurt right now, alligator armed it. I thought it was both guys.
Hits you in the hands. That's what they say. You should catch the ball.
But he caught it as he was, you know, knew he was going to get popped. You know, that ball's got to be on the numbers if you're going to throw that dangerously so that he can catch it and protect himself. And then simultaneously, so it was a little inaccurate throw, and it led him into traffic. And then simultaneously, like Juwan Jennings, you got to catch that, but he was about to get popped. And
Like, the reality is, I'm not trying to see him go into the blue tent again. So no. I kind of understand his POV on that.
Definitely don't want to see now, any of the blue tent Niners.
The last thing was with Kittle. I thought I saw Kittle come off the field a lot in the first half. He obviously needs to get conditioning up. But also, you got to, like, put the guy on a pitch count. I don't want to see him play 100% of the snaps offensively. No. Work him into game speed.
Joe, how refreshing was it to see it, like a good running 49ers team yesterday? Like, seriously, they've been throwing it like 40-plus times Joe, every single game. You look at the attempts for Mac Jones. Can you even guess? You know how many attempts he had?
25, maybe?
Yeah, 26. There you go. Didn't have to throw it a bunch.
The drive of the night was an 11-play, 65-yard, 5-minute and 52-second time of possession where CMC screen, QB sneak, CMC run, B-Rob run, B-Rob again. Quarterback sneak, quarterback scramble, 12 defensive players on the field. That was a bad penalty, by the way, for Atlanta. A CMC run, another CMC run, a CMC catch. They threw the ball one time on that entire drive. One time on the 11-play drive.
I'm glad you brought up the bad penalty, the 12 men on the field, the intentional grounding, the attention to details is something you'll see with a young quarterback and a young team. It's not something you're seeing with the 49ers, it being a negative, that is. The attention to details that they've been able to accomplish, whether it's, you know, just not touching the ball and learning from your space if you're Sky Moore in the special teams, whether it's just knowing where to be lined up. And a couple weeks ago, we saw it on full display, right? When no Ricky Pearsall, no Brandon Ayuk, no George Kittle, no all these top receivers are out, Juwan Jennings. Like, and he had a bunch of new faces in there. And it was a learning curve. But you know what? That hasn't killed them in these games. Mac Jones being the leader on that field, knowing where to be, Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Shanahan putting his team in positions to succeed, Robert Saleh, the same thing. They practice this. This is why practice matters, man. That's why coaching matters in the NFL. I see so much. There was so much bad football yesterday, Joe. I don't need to tell you this. There was so much god-awful football that I had to watch in that morning and afternoon slate. And just if you just execute normally, like the Giants should have won that game. You're up 18 points. For those of you who missed it, I don't know how you did. If you watched football, you can't have missed that game. 33 points. Is that how much was scored in the fourth quarter yesterday? I'm sorry. The Giants coaching staff should be just destroyed and ripped a new one. And I'm sure I don't have to tell the New York media that. It was embarrassing. That is on coaching to me. That's on coaching. Same thing could be said with Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh. Leaning on the running game. It's working. Lean on that. I don't need to force anything to George Kittle right now. I don't need to do that. I know he's back. Don't need to force anything. It's fine. They were playing within themselves yesterday, and they won the game because they didn't have the mental errors that the Atlanta Falcons did.
Completely agree. The one time they did try to, quote-unquote, force a play design to George Kittle, it was just kind of a predictable, behind the line of scrimmage. The bad throw, too, by Mac.
It was bad.
And Kittle couldn't come through with it. So, look, all things considered, great win. There's so much to break down. I know we got the injury report, so let's get to it.
Let's hit it.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
49ers got the win last night, but still lost a couple of players to injury. Cornerback Renardo Green went down with a toe injury and was not able to return to the game, and center Jake Brendel had to leave the game as well due to a hamstring strain. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. And what's coming up with the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Niner fans, where are you at? Victory Monday. You, the people, are the guests. We're locked and loaded all day long right here on 95.7 The Game, talking 49ers football, 5-2 on the season. If you have any doubts about this team, I don't know how. They keep winning. Mac Jones, wasn't his best performance? Doesn't matter. You got the win. Christian McCaffrey, that was his best performance. Tatum Bethune, you got Matt Hennessy filling in. You got players making plays left and right. And I want to hear from the people today. Plus, this week is going to be insane here in the Bay. We've got Warriors-Lakers tomorrow night, opening up the season right here on 95.7 The Game. We'll have all that coverage leading up to the game itself, and then after, we'll have all the reactions on Wednesday. We got Baldy and Bonte in studio tomorrow. Baldy will be on the call. Bonte in studio from 8 to 10, each and every Tuesday. Same thing there. Plus, the Giants, they're going to sign a manager? And it would be historic if they do. Tennessee's Tony Vitello. There is interest and mutual interest in that between the Giants and the Tennessee baseball coach. All that and more on 95.7 The Game. And it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, which is here for you and here for good.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.